You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Earlier this month, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change released a special report on climate change with alarming warnings about the need for a global response that is unprecedented in scale and speed. They warn that the global community has only one decade to phase out fossil fuels entirely to avoid catastrophic environmental breakdown. Here in New Zealand, recent moves by the government show first steps toward a zero carbon emission. Oil and gas exploration has been banned, though with controversial stipulations. The Zero Carbon Bill is currently going through Parliament, which proposes putting a price on carbon and will hopefully address the difficult question of what to do about agricultural emissions. These decisions have real-world implications for the economy and ultimately for every individual. Ella Christensen sought to get some specific answers regarding the economic impacts of this transition. She spoke with Niven Winchester, Senior Fellow with Motu Economic Research Institute. They started by talking about the problems with introducing carbon pricing into an economy that has operated without a consideration for the environmental costs of fossil fuels extraction and use.
There's certainly a conflict, and this is why this is such a difficult issue, is that historically we've all been used to doing something for free, and that is emitting CO2 emissions. So when we drive our car, when we use electricity from fossil fuels, we're not charged for those emissions historically. Now we want to say, okay, we know that those emissions are doing some damage. We want to price those emissions in accordance with the damages that are occurring. So we're basically increasing input costs throughout the economy. So it's more heavily felt on energy intensive sectors, such as the electricity sector. We're going to have a higher increase in costs, but that propagates throughout the whole economy. We have an increase in electricity costs, an increase in transportation costs. You know, those are used as inputs into many things that we consume. So it's going to increase the cost of things that we buy. So we're not going to be as well off as if we didn't price emissions. If we were just forgetting about what might be coming down the road in terms of impacts of climate change, we'd be better off simply not to price emissions. So we are saying to ourselves, right, we've got to do things in a more costly way because we're thinking about the future. So in some sense, it's an investment now of bearing some additional costs now to reap the benefits in terms of avoided climate damages in the future. So that does present a difficult issue. And then you've got different sectors in the economy affected in different ways. So you've got people's incentives not necessarily aligned. If you're an energy-intensive manufacturer, you might perhaps want to avoid any large emissions price because it's going to decrease the value of your assets. If you're not in that sector, you're not going to have such a high cost from a climate policy, but you're going to perhaps get the same benefits from avoided climate damages. The distributional impacts of the policy costs are important as well.
It seems to me that's kind of the biggest problem, is that fossil fuels are the basis of everything that we do, and we're still in the same economy, but we're trying to change the thing that makes that economy possible, which is cheap energy.
Yeah, so from economist's perspective, the best way to a solution is to price the problem. And in this case, the problem is CO2 emissions. So we should price CO2 emissions at the appropriate level. So I mentioned the ETS carbon price before, about $25 a tonne. If New Zealand is serious about climate change, and it appears that the current government is, you know, there'd be ambitious caps placed on that emissions trading system, which will result in much higher carbon prices, which will then provide an incentive for that change to happen. So all of a sudden, carbon-free electricity becomes more cost competitive. For New Zealand, the big problem isn't energy emissions. I think we can get away from electricity emissions quite easily with our endowments of lots of wind and the hydro resources. You then look at transportation, with petrol and diesel accounting for a lot of emissions. There has been some quite significant advancements in electric vehicles recently, so I think over time we'll see the cost of batteries and electric vehicles come down for both private transportation and larger commercial transportation. So I think that is certainly doable with current technology trends, and obviously a carbon price will help. make those technologies more cost competitive. So for New Zealand, it's not such a problem with the energy emissions, unlike most other countries. Around half of our emissions are going to be from the agricultural sector. So we're talking mainly methane from livestock. And that's where the options become quite expensive.
That also kind of raises the question of, does the decision about how to parse out those costs across an economy, a population, fall exclusively to government?
The government can just price emissions and let things fall how they would, but that is making an implicit decision on who's bearing the cost. So, for example, if we look at moving towards electric vehicles by putting a price on CO2 emissions, which increases the price of petrol. So if we think of the distributional impacts just in terms of wealthy households versus not-so-wealthy households, the not-so-wealthy households generally spend a higher proportion of their income on petrol than the wealthy households. So that can be act as a regressive policy where the lower income households are bearing a higher burden of the policy costs. Mm. So by not doing a thing, the government is still making an implicit decision. I think the current government is very aware of this and wants to make sure that, you know, there is some equitable distribution of these costs. I have seen some policy proposals outside of New Zealand where there is some rebate to households related to their income level. So, for example, if we're driving up petrol costs on average, let's say by $500 a year due to carbon pricing, there is a rebate to lower income households of some amount, $200 or $300, for example, so that they're not impacted as much by the policy costs, whereas the richer households, they bear the full cost of the policy.
Thinking about how jobs can be affected by these things, so there's obviously a lot of people employed by oil and gas, all of these industries, you know, and there's some discussion that introducing renewable into a country will promote a lot of jobs. Do you have, what's your perspective on that?
So certainly in the short term, there will be some job losses and some pain by some geographical regions. If, you know, for example, if the policy causes an industry to disappear, that can be quite some time before those people are employed elsewhere. We have seen that in the past with New Zealand. So we go back to 1997, where New Zealand removed its tariff on automobiles. The automobile assembly in New Zealand went away virtually overnight. So those people don't stay unemployed forever. You know, they need to move away geographically. They find a job in another industry. And when you think about what's happening over generations, well, you don't get obviously young people going into those jobs if they've been shut down. So with any policy that sort of shuts down or curtails an industry, there is going to be some short-term losses. Could there be long-term gains? Well, that depends. It certainly, if you move towards renewable energy, the people will get jobs in that industry. If New Zealand became a global leader in renewable energy technology, then that could be a new export sector for New Zealand that provides additional jobs that wouldn't have been there in the absence of the policy. So I think it's about, you know, acknowledging the short-term costs that are going to occur to some individuals in some regions of New Zealand and doing the best to mitigate those through things like relocation programs, education and training programs.
Not only are jobs lost, but oil and gas contributes, I think, billions of dollars to New Zealand's economy, and agriculture contributes a lot. Who's going to take those cuts, I get, and how will they be made up for?
Certainly, almost certainly, when we start pricing emissions at a significant level, our GDP is going to be lower than it would otherwise have been. That's because we want to avoid, you know, the long-term consequences of climate change. So who bears the cost of those policies? Well, again, that depends on what supplementary policies they are by the government. So with the farming sector, for example, if there was a significant carbon price imposed on methane emissions, you would get the value of dairy farms going down. So that's going to impact the owners of that land. It's going to impact the workers who had their livelihood, who may not own the land but worked on those farms. So there's perhaps a role for the government in terms of deciding, well, who do they want to compensate for that? Or do they give enough warning in the policy, such as we're going to bring agriculture into the ETS by 2035 in some sort of escalating fashion, so that there is time for people to adjust their expectations.
And when you look 20 years in the future in New Zealand, does it look very different from the country you see now?
That will depend on what happens to agriculture and the emissions trading scheme. So if there is a significant price on agricultural emissions, particularly from livestock, we could see a very large change in what the New Zealand landscape looks like. Be a lot less dairy farms, perhaps a lot more horticulture in New Zealand. But that is going to take, that will be quite a significant change for the country. But short of, you know, some breakthrough new technology that is able to suck CO2 out of the atmosphere, I think that's what New Zealand needs to do to meet ambitious emissions reduction target. It really needs to tackle what goes on in agriculture.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.